Hello, we are the math people. In statistics, we are reading a book called How to Lie with Statistics. Mm-hmm. We will be talking about chapters 1 through 4, giving our opinions.
The first scenario stated that, class of 24, if you send your children to Yale, you won't have to work at your old age. And in the book, what the author is saying is, he disagreed with the statement Yale is making because how can you get in contact with all of those people in that class? Some people may move to Egypt. Some people may move out of the country. Some people may move, like, people might die. You never know. And how long is going to take for your child to finish college for them to start looking at you? Because they got to graduate and they got to go through their process of school. I disagree with what the Yale is saying, just as the author, because it makes more sense if they take care of you now while your child is in school than afterwards when your child is graduating to become the Yale man class of 24.
I disagree with what Ruby had to say because I feel as though if Yale starts taking care of the parents now, what if the kid drop out? Then now what? And I don't do what you said, man.
Oh my God.
That's a good point. I agree.
This yeah. Said.
What happens if the child drops out?
What?
I know what you're saying.
They say if you send your child to well, you won't have to pay, you have to work in your old age, and the child won't have to work in their old age. It don't matter if they graduate or not.
But you said that if the child is go to school and graduate, the parent doesn't have to worry after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you said that they should already start doing that while the child is in school. That's what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I disagree with that because what if this child doesn't graduate from Yale and they decide to go to a different school?
They'll stop paying for the child.
I wouldn't want them to pay then. If I was Yale, I wouldn't want to pay for your parents' thing and then you decide to leave my school for a reason.
Your old age, you wouldn't have to work your old age.
Exactly, I understand. That's what the book said. But you said they should start paying the parents already while this child is still in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you said. And I said,
Should start helping the parents now because all that money they already give, where they going to get money from?
If they helping the parents going to pay for the... It don't make no sense because...
The money they're giving to the parents is way less amount than what they actually pay for the child to go
then
to school.
Yo, it's
expensive.
All right, then that means they should just make their tuition cheaper because it don't make no sense giving them money while they're giving money
then
to
Then that's
you.
Another case, but in this case, I'm pretty sure the amount that they would give to, like, if Ronald was the father, I'm the child, the money he paid to Yo is more than what they give him.
But you're saying they should pay while they
in school. Yes, I agree with that. I didn't say they should pay. I said they should help
them
out.
They should help the parents
while they're in school.
That would make the tuition cheaper instead of giving them money.
They could do that, too, instead of whatever they want to do. But I'm thinking while the child's in school, they should still help them wait until they reach their old age or whatever.
If they helping them out during their stage of school,
process,
what is going
to
happen after school? The parents. They still should be helping them out.
Yes!
For a reason.
Until my old age. That's what it says.
I don't understand why we still helping you out. For example, if I was your aunt personally, I wouldn't want to be helping you out while your child don't go to school and then still help you out while your children are in school.
So what if my child graduate from school and by the time I reach my old age, I'm at a point I can barely, like...
Then the money go to your child. And if that child died...
Why would I want my money to go to my child if I pay my money? Why can't I enjoy my money?
You dead.
So, that's my point.
To your grave. To your grandchildren.
If you get sick, like...
If you get sick...
Or what if I get sick?
It go to your medicine.
Why my child is still in school and I don't have no money because I pay Yale.
You pay Yale? Who told you to go to
Yale? Exactly.
Anybody told you to say
either make
your
tuition cheaper, like you said... Or they take care of me now. I don't want to wait till my old age. How you know I'm going to make it to my old age?
Why are they taking care of you now? It don't make sense. You are paying them for your child to go to school.
I said why like 10 times.
You are paying
them
for your child
to
go to school.
They made the contract.
Nobody asked your child to go to Yale.
Nobody asked you to make that contract.
But like I said, no. Their contract is... You said the statistics said after... A certain amount of year when the child is graduating.
No.
Right? That's what you said the statistics say.
I said that's what I think. I think they shouldn't wait after they graduate.
That's what I'm attacking.
If you send your child to school, no matter what, if they graduate or not.
Let the child graduate then. Because now you know the child graduated from Yale. They got a Yale degree. Whatever benefit they get out of Yale, that's from, like, Yale is the name they're going to be pushing.
First of all, depending on what they want to do, that 4 years doesn't take you nowhere. You have to go to another part of school. So
it doesn't matter. You don't have to do that. They still graduated from Yale. Now they can start helping the parents in their old
age. By doing what?
What do you mean by doing who?
By doing, how can they help their parents? They can barely help themselves. Because they're all lame.
You say... Yeah, I'm talking about y'all. I'm not talking about the daughter or whatever the child. I'm not talking about
y'all. How can they help themselves?
How can y'all help the parents? But you saying they should help while the child is in school. Why am I helping you when you're supposed to be the one paying me?
I already pay you. So now, if the book stated, whoever sends their child to Yale will not have to work in their old age and the child.
Mm-hmm, that's what the book says.
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm saying, while I'm in school, why can't you just keep helping me more?
Helping your parents more?
Either my son or me. Because if you're in college, I'm pretty sure it's other stuff that you need in college. Mm-hmm. It could make it easier for him or it could make it easier for me. Like,
that's not only y'all, though. That can be any school. You have to look for that benefit yourself. Y'all cannot just give
you that. But we're talking about Yale right now.
We're talking about Yale. But you're saying that y'all should be helping you. No, you have to look
for that. I'm saying based on the contract, I disagree with what they're saying.
About the contract? That's what I said. I agree with it, then I disagree with you.
What the contract says?
You said the contract said.
The contract said
that after the child graduate in the mid-age of the parents, right? They will be helping the parents out.
That's what the contract said?
That's what it said.
No, that's not what it said.
Okay, what did it say?
The contract said when you send your child to Yale, you or your child will not have to work in your old age, and that's what the author is questioning. Is that true? Because he don't agree with it. Because he's saying, what if I move to another place? What if my child is somewhere else? What if I'm somewhere else?
That's not their fault. They can't.
Exactly. That's what he's saying. The statistic behind it is not true. They're lying to the people. There's no way you could reach with those people.
But people, that's common sense. I think that's personal.
It's not common sense.
If you move, that's your business. That's
so
not
you want
your
to
business.
Wait until my son is done before I do my life? So why can't they help me now then?
Because your son is going to my school. And at that time, you have to pay tuition. For me, what am I paying you for?
No, you're not understanding. You're saying that you wait afterwards.
Yeah.
Even the author doesn't agree because
but that's the author. I have my own opinion.
The statistic doesn't agree with whatever he's saying. Like, wow. Like, what if Rhino want to go to California to live? He's tired of Philly. Oh, no, I can't wait. I got to wait for 3 years because my son is in college.
Moving doesn't mean anything. Moving, they will still give you money because you just moved.
How you know? They don't know where you at.
What do you mean? Unless they're telling you if they're telling you that you have to stay in a specific place that you can't move, then that's a different situation. But like, it's America. You can move to any place and you still get that money. They actually.
How are they gonna get to the whole class of 20? That's like class of 2013 now. That's what it's telling us. If you pay for my lifetime insurance, when you reach your old age, I'm gonna take care of your child.
If they do,
is that possible? They can barely get money to pay.
They can barely get money. You're right. Yeah.
Stop it. Go ahead.
So, it was a part of the book that was talking about samples, and it was saying that, for instance, if there was like a barrel full of beans, and then there were red beans and white beans, if you took a handful out, you could like determine from that handful the ratio of red to white beans from just your handful. I think that is true. That's generally true. Yes. And for the yield, too. That's true.
Well, for the same knowledge for the Yale.
Yes.
To understand the statistics, he take the white beans and the red beans, and that's why he disagreed with what this thing.
Yes. But if
the red beans, I feel as though with that situation, he is right, because how can they know how many? Ouch.
Who's right? Ronald's right?
No. Ronald just say what the book say. Ronald, what do you think about it?
I think it's right. I think that as long as it's mixed perfectly, Like, if it's the red and white beans are mixed in perfectly, not if it's like all red on the top, all white on the bottom. I think it is true. You can, because I mean, who's going to count every single bean that's in the barrel? So
I kind of feel as though he left out some information about the mixed part, because he never said if it was mixed or not. If he would have said it was mixed, that would have made me believe that it would have, the statistic would have been right. But it was never stated that it was, that beans was mixed. It was just told that they took a handful of beans of red and
white
beans.
But I think that would work for like any situation. Like, what if it's, well, I guess not, maybe not. Because if it's like a group of people and you take a group of people from a population, you can't like make judgment on people. I mean, I can understand beans, but I can understand like people. Like race, for instance, let's say we were talking about demographics for a neighborhood. If you like took a handful out of a neighborhood, it could be from a section that's it could be from like a section that's dominantly one neighborhood. I mean, one ethnicity. So you couldn't really use that for like race, right?
Right. So we all agree with the beans. The third scenario in chapter one talked about the two magazines, the Horror Magazine and the True Story Magazine, and how when doing this, when they were accounting for the censuses, how the True Story Magazine had the most view, and the Horror Magazine had less viewers. But when the books, when the magazines were sold, the Horror Magazine were sold more. They were sold, how many magazines? The True Magazine, it was millions that were sold, and then the Horror Magazine, it was only 1,000. Well, 10,000 that was sold.
100,000.
Hundreds of thousands?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hundreds of thousands. With this example, I feel as though that the author is kind of right, because it don't make no sense for the love story to get higher vote during the census when it didn't when the magazines first came out.
I agree, yeah. It makes no sense. I mean, it's not like a good representation of the data, because it could be people that didn't do the census, or because we do know, I mean, there are people here illegally, so they may have had a big influence on the romance novels.
But it's off of the people that actually did the census, and some of those people can lie. Maybe that's why the result came out that way.
I agree.
And are you agreeing with what the author say?
I mean, the author just stated they don't really have an opinion on the conversation.
You
just stay in the fact.
About, so who are these people that's going around collecting data of the census?
The government
do it
based on the book. Based on the two magazines.
No, they do it for any question. So, but the question had came up with the two magazines: the Horror Magazine or the Love Story.
Which was the one the book stated?
Uh huh.
Oh. I think there's some like legal things behind this whole like things.
Go.
There's no way it could be true if one magazine was sold more than the other one. In this case, the Harper's Magazine was sold more than the True Story. But came to find out the True Story was the amount more than
when they did the census, this True Story had more
views, mm-hmm, than the Harper magazine. Or maybe that could work also.
Maybe people are just
started to like buy the True Story more and more, or I don't know.
I think it's just people lazy, because I know my family, we don't really answer all the questions truthfully.
We just
answer just to answer, so to get it out the way.
And people that knocks on the door sometimes just ask questions, and you just... And the thing about it, the time to come around your house is, it's not all the people who be at work, who be at your home, the adults and stuff. It's just like kids. People be at work, people be outside doing things. It's not like you informing these people, I'm going to come on your door at your door to ask you a few questions about books and magazines. So maybe if the readers know what they're interviewing about. Somehow, some way, they could all sit at home a day. They could pick a day. But other than that, it's just like a bias type of knowledge or method behind it, which I don't agree with it at all. Because, like she said, people come to the house, just get out of my face. I just want to answer your question so you could go home. That's basically what I would do. So, it's bias.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just a book. It's not like they're going to take it seriously.
Exactly.
Just wasting their time.
We'll be moving on to chapter two. Chapter two is about average and how there are different averages and people just assume there's only one average. In the book, it stated that the mean is one of the average, the mode is an average,
and
the median is an average. Three average, yeah, it stated three averages.
Measures of center as well, I believe that they are.
Well, that wasn't mentioned.
And the way they use that to lie with statistic is averaging out certain.
They said in the book, they talked about how people just take small amount of their data
population.
instead of population. Yeah, instead of taking all the data.
The nuts.
What
the beans.
Yeah, but they talk about numbers in here. Average, actually. Okay. They're taking the average.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a big data and just sum it all up, they just take a small amount of data and try to make it seem like it's a, well, if it was the whole data, it would probably be like 50% of something. But since they're taking a small amount of something, it would probably be like 90% of something of what they of their product, which is trying to show their the product they're selling is a good thing or something. And now also for us, though, in chapter two, they are trying to make people smoke more, which don't make no sense to me. But I feel like the person that wrote that part made it seem like he is a smoker or she's a smoker. And they trying to say smoking is a good thing or something.
And like, but I think it was written at a time where like smoking was more acceptable.
For stores and like businesses, the artist is stating like, this person make a certain amount per hour or per year, and this other person make a certain amount of time another year. He's comparing both average and doing the mean, the medium, and the mode to average out who get the most money, and which I think is another bias thing, because you cannot compare. It's two different jobs when you're doing. Unless we're doing the same job, working the same amount of hour, that's the only way you could compare us. Other than that, there shouldn't be no comparison in Rhino's doing farming. I'm doing, like, politics. I'm probably going to make more money than him, and he do more work than I do.
And just the fact that it's the average, I mean, that leaves it just unqualified. There's just a lot of room for juggling and whatnot. I mean, it can mean the mode, the median, or the arithmetic mean. And it depends on the data itself. Like, the numbers may not add up. Like, if it's a number is more common, if a number comes up more, you would. And it may be different than the arithmetic mean itself. So, like, for instance, one, if it was a set of numbers, 1, 2, 3, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, and then like 100, the mode would be 5 because it's more 5 than anything else. But then since you have that 100 in there, the outlier, it makes the average higher than the mode. So it depends on what type of mean you're talking about. We shouldn't just always go to arithmetic averages, meaning the average. The arithmetic mean is meaning the average, because it could be the median and the mode. So,
pretty much, this chapter is about how the average changed depending on your data. Well, we'll be moving on to chapter three.
So, this is chapter three, the little figures that are not there. So, something that I agreed with. Something that I agree with is that the author was telling how you can basically present your data to your audience however you want to. You can lead them to false conclusions. Like, for instance, there was an example about, like, age, when a child is supposed to sit up erect in a chair, and he said that by the age of 2, children are supposed to sit up in the chair. And so that makes you, there's no range, there's no, like, between this age and this age. It's just the age of 2. So there are I'm sure children that don't sit up straight until 3, and then there are some children that sit up early, like 1 year
of age. But he called them not normal people. The author is saying that the kid have to sit up straight at the age of 2. If you don't sit up straight at the age of 2, you are not normal, which is so stupid to me. Yes. I don't think that makes sense at all, because there are babies that sit up before 2, and there are babies that sit up after 2. I don't think that makes any baby retarded or slow or unnormal in any form.
Yeah, I agree. I saw it was this little section that was talking about, like, if you flip a coin, you would think that there's 2 results of flipping a coin, like head and tails, but it said that there were really 4 results of flipping a coin, and I hadn't really realized that. I guess they kind of are. It could be heads, it could be tails, but it could also, like, land on the side where it's, like, sitting up, or you could flip it into the air and it just never comes back. A bird picks it up or something. So, I mean, that's a good example of there being, like, outliers that you just sweep under the carpet, basically. I mean,
I guess
it is a possibility. It's low, but it is a possibility.
But I guess statistics just assume that the coin would either land on the tail or head. They don't really think about the coin landing on the side or a bird taking it away, because that's not part of it.
Now we will talk about chapter 4, which is called Much Ado About Practically Nothing. In this chapter, it talks about measurements and how if you're slightly off with the measurement, it can make your results, it can mess up your results. So, like, for instance, if there's a measuring stick and it's 3 inches off, your results will be either 3 inches too big or 3 inches too small, and that can be very bad if you're, like, talking, if you're like building a building or something, if you're an architect. So what do you guys think?
And I agree with what you're saying, the chapter is saying, because for example, when you go to Subway, and this is actually a case that's in process right now, when you go to Subway, they cut off the top of the bread, I guess, to make the bread nicely fit or whatever. But a customer was, I guess, care much about the fact that it cut off his bread, and he's suing Subway Eat Fresh because it's not exactly 5 inches foot long that Subway always, $5 foot long.
He wasn't talking about the cut part, the whole bread itself. They say it was five, like, not when it's cut, the bread roll. He said it wasn't 5 foot long.
5 inches.
No, 5 foot.
The bird roll long wasn't 5 foot.
No, 1 foot.
1 foot.
It's a $5 foot long.
Oh, yeah, $5.
So what was he talking about?
It wasn't
about?
A foot long. It was, I think it was missing something. It wasn't a foot long.
But it wasn't accurate. The bread isn't, it's not accurate. So he feel as though they lie, or they, like, trying to, like, eat his money and eat people money, or just scam him in some type of way. So he's, like, suing the whole company, and, like, it's a case. But then again, he's kind of right, because your measurement, when you're using data and numbers, it have to be accurate. Like Ronald said, if you're building a building, there's no way you're just going to build the building. One side is crooked. You got one side 0.5 meter and the other side 1 meter. It's going to be uneven, so you have to have an accurate amount of measurement.
In some situations, it really doesn't matter about the measurement being a little bit off. Only if you care that much, then I guess your measurement have to be there. I remember doing some math problem about this in class, but I'm not sure what it was. I forgot what assignment was, but Mr. Mao made us in a group and we had to decide whether their company was right or the person that bought the stuff was right. And there was no conclusion to our math behind it, because some people believe that the company should have said exactly what was in the problem, but others believe that the person that bought the stuff shouldn't even care that much about it, because it wasn't a big deal, because it wasn't so much difference to it. So in some senses, it matters, but others, it doesn't matter. It'll mainly depend on the person that's buying the product or that's selling the product.